Thank you, Joan. Thank you, Judy. Thank you, Jimmy. And, of course, to Michael, who unfortunately isn't here. By all rights, I don't belong here because I'm not in the anthology, but Michael very kindly allowed me to participate tonight. Yasagumba Harvesters. In March, after heavy snows melt, schools, untilled fields, monasteries, entire villages empty out. Household goods loaded on their backs and those of pack animals, the harvesters form a caravan. Up, up, the snow-capped Himalayas on beds of rock, gravel, and ice trapped under glint of morning sun, women and children in flimsy shoes, men in boots, scour the steep, grassy slopes for Yasagumba, cure for flagging libidos and other ailments. Now and then someone, perhaps a child, pauses to take in the mountains, mysterious as though formed by clouds. Perhaps a man distracted by a vulture's rattle or a lake's intense blue 12,000 feet below loses his footing, leaves in his wake a teenage wife and infant son. The dreamscape disorients. One might mistake the music, sometimes muffled by an avalanche, for wind that sweeps across the grassland's vast expanse, or merry commerce from a near bazaar. For harvesters, though, the bells hung around the necks of their beloved yaks are one in memory with their first heard lullabies. Survival itself, the shaggy-haired yaks whose comic skirts reached the ground, their backs weighed down with blankets, tents, and pots, propel the music forward. Yasagumba, worth more than gold. What will happen when the fields, tired and emptied out, bear their ruined soil to the indifferent blazing sky? Will the music of the bells still be heard? Thank you. Thank you. Stop me when you think I've read enough, I timed it still. That's a plenty. Chilled air, security, metal detectors, shampoo bottle, no more than 4 ounces. And yet a feeling of warmth lingers, as does the sound of jazz that surprises at every turn in that Pied Piper city. Red rose rag pours through doors left ajar. The 7-piece brass band on Jackson Square, where jazz leaps from the pavement, tickles air plump with April's blooms. Melodies heard or seen through open windows. A tuba tangos past the restaurant where I sit eating the obligatory gumbo. The moment sings in the way people walk, in the way they smile, in the how y'alls. Time treacles down Bourbon Street. At night it shimmers, wraps tourists and revelers in a fantastical cloth woven of dreams. At Fritzl's, we get a table close to the exit, squeeze tight together, use our passes for free drinks and then some. Tom Fisher in suit and tie, clarinet held high, makes his way through the crowd towards the stage. The music begins. Oh, Lordy Lord, how those boys play. Glorious sounds enter our sleep that night. The rumble of the streetcar that takes us back to our hotel, the clack-clack of its electric motor, the clanging bell intertwines with blues, slow waltzes, and petite fleurs to braid polyrhythmic stories. Fragments remain with us during a breakfast of grits, biscuits, and gravy, as well as on the airport shuttle. At a Delta kiosk, a smiling Nefertiti serves me a warm muffaletta. She hums a pretty tune I don't recognize. What is it, I ask. Why, honey, she says, don't you know? It's called That's a Plenty. The third ear, quote, Kalingan love begins with touching, stroking, and kissing the ear, not with a kiss on the mouth, by Joachim Ernst Behrendt. If only I had stroked his ears, fondled them, kissed them, would our love have been more harmonious? Would he have been kinder, more tolerant, less inclined to anger, the expression of his eyes gentler? I might love him still, despite the reek of garlic, the stench of cigarettes on his breath, remain oblivious to the Listerine or those horrid mints. His sharp teeth might excite me. Perhaps even his dentures should he need them. And I would play at braiding and unbraiding the thicket of his hairy chest, those white dendrites streaking the dark. If only I had fondled his ears, that duo of comical protruding organs that retain the echo of the ancient past, he might not have rejected its music, nor let it molder in the recesses of his heart. If only I had kissed his ears, I might have cracked open that vault, found the combination by licking, rubbing, or squeezing the cartilage, tickling the pendulent lobes, chewing on their adipose tissues, whispering words of passion. In the beginning, there was sound. Do I have time? One more? One more, my last. Catching yawns. Catching yawns from one another like nests of wattled whirling song, caught and tossed one to the other with no intent at all to harm. Catching yawns from one another, pale iridescent golden threads, spiral out upon the thin air to leave faint traces where they shed. I tossed a silver yawn to you, a bagatelle of shimmering light. You caught it with your mouth stretched wide, laughing, swallowing with delight. Your mouth stretched wide, then wider still, the yawn massaging every cell, delicious trembling through your veins, expanding like an ocean swell. Your mouth stretched wide, then twice as wide, you caught a yawn, a thunderous roar of laughter meant to cover pain from all the grief that went before. You threw an awesome yawn to me, a smoldering ball for me to catch. It burst into a thousand flames. I kept my distance as I watched. Catching yawns from one another, neath badinage a mournful song. Then back we tossed one to the other throughout the night till tinsel dawn. Thank you.